Welcome to Awakening Matters, spiritual dialogues that invite joy, wisdom, and laughter, engaging topics of our humanity from an infinite dimensional perspective, with myself, Cynthia Sloan. Hello, everyone gathered, those present and those listening. I'm delighted to have you with me this evening. This show is all about listener participation. I'd love to hear your questions and comments during the second part of the show, so please feel free to do so. If you're calling worldwide, I have a toll-free number for you, and that is 888-815-9756. And in the States, it is 530-327-7602. And I will repeat those numbers again. It is a very interesting time in our lives, and I am elated to invite back my co-host of Times Back when Awakening Matters first spread its wings and flew, and that is Ania Avedisian. She is with us today as a special guest, and we're going to be catching up and talking with each other and letting you in on that conversation, and then also taking questions regarding topics that we will very much so likely unfold. So I want to talk about what I've been experiencing with clients and the mass consciousness and light and everything that is, and I want to talk with Ani about that. And again, you've received the number, so feel free to know that this is a combined effort, this is a combined consciousness, and we are all present with each other, whether seen or unseen. There is no breath taken that is not accounted for within the center of spirit, the center where we all reside. So listeners and those who want to participate, know that you can jump right in whenever you feel the desire to do so. So at this time, I'd like to say, hey, Ani.
Hey, Cynthia, it's so good to be back on the airwaves with you, love. How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
I'm probably even more fabulous, you know?
Oh, well, of course.
Life is good. Hey, it's fun to do this again.
Yes, it's good to have you as my special guest. And it's so wonderful to connect again with that energy and also the fact that I know that for listeners who are tuning in for the first time, that Ani has her own practice and has a lot of clients and interacts, and I'll let you share with others later on how you do that, but that I know that you are a healer on many levels and also an observer and a participator. So I would love to hear your take on the experiences with yourself, and then also, because I think everything starts with our observation, and then like a pebble that drops in a very still pool of water, then it flows out from there. But first, the water must recognize that pebble. So start with yourself, please, and tell me how are you?
That was so profound. I have to take a moment. I have to take a moment and let those ripples of Christed consciousness sort of trickle through my divinity there. You know?
Absolutely.
I'm good. I'm really good. It's been interesting times. Practice is still doing really, really well. Still, you know, a little mixture of everything, a little mixture of light body healing, ghost whispering, and a lot of teaching, which I'd like to talk about a little bit later on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think more than anything, what has been the shift for me, what I've been seeing, I've been called out to a lot of hospitals lately. To do a lot of hospital visits,
mm-hmm.
Which usually isn't such a major part of what I do. But a lot of people out there experiencing life on many different realms and putting themselves through all sorts of interesting experiences. So I've been applying. I've decided that since I'm being called out to these hospitals all the time, I'm not just going to see whoever my patient is, but I've been walking up and down the hospitals, taking an extra hour or two to go through the intensive care units and sort of, you know, the acute dialysis places like that,
mm-hmm.
And actually practice my land and space clearing.
Wow.
Well, these places when you know, anybody who's been in a hospital knows that you don't go there for lunch. You don't go there for fun. So, you know, you go there to because you're in fear and you're in pain. And the cumulative debris in a place like that, you know, and matched up with all the stress that the doctors and the nurses and the medical teams go through to try and process everyone, is a little intense, and I think goes contrary to the healing vibe that people want to infuse in hospitals.
That's fascinating. That really is. I think that medicine altogether is changing. I think that first of all, I will speak on behalf of all the souls and energies which I know you probably receive, but a deep thank you to you and gratitude for doing that work for those who were there when you were there, and then certainly for those who would come there after you, that your effect there and your intention coming from the heart would simply create a blank slate and a one that would supply greater healing, I believe. So thank you for doing that. That is very intense work, folks, for those of you who, well, to visit a relative in our humanity and to be in a hospital and to feel just a lot of people not only in the beds suffering, but the family members, the continuum of consciousness connected to the families and all their fear and all their worry and all their pain. It is a very energetic, scattered, and turbulent body of work. So thank you for going in there whenever you can and using your breath of life to smooth it out.
Amen. And, you know, and we train our interns to do the same thing. And, in fact, we've trained the family members to do the same thing. We, you know, our goal, Cynthia, is to make everybody a little mobile sacred space, right?
Yes, it is.
So we just, you know, we don't really have to do anything. We just have this perfect placement of intent, yes. You know, from a divine perspective, and then we just stand in places.
Well,
I mean, you know it works. You're a mobile sacred space. I've seen you do it.
I think that, yes, I would agree with you only in the aspect that it's not so much about doing all the time as it is about being that in agreement with ourselves, like you said, holding the intention and holding it all the way through, that even the ground we're standing on has a collaborative thought and agreement to transmute itself, to align to that divine intention. I think holding the intention of just being that, whatever it is, peace, calm, clarity, love, God, goddess, creates our surroundings and our atmosphere to take notice when somebody's really serious about that and talking out loud by not whispering even a word. So I agree.
Mhm. Yeah, I mean in moments of panic like that, everybody goes very much into human zone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a constant barrage of redundant thought patterns and unfinished thought loops. And just to be able to go into a place and just smile and remind people that pure unconditional love source energy is what they really are.
Yes, that is their originating signature, that's their originating makeup, and that the connection to that, regardless of what their wiring is now and how they rewire it to get there, is part of the journey, I think, and then the outcome is returning to oneself. I think with my clients, I've been honored to see a lot of people who are right now, wouldn't you say right now is a time for a lot of people, I wouldn't say across the board, but a lot of people that are awakening through either trauma or drama or the breaking of the heart or the reexamining of the soul.
Yes.
There's a lot of intensity that is almost pointing to only one direction for people, which is a higher and internal direction. And instead of an outward one, it's been an honor to sit before people who arrive just completely tense and, like you said, stressed and in fear, and leave in tears of release and joy and hope. Now, hope, there is a word that people are starting to seek out again, but I'm seeing it as not only community hope, but also individual hope. is what people are starting to trust again and reclaim.
You know, I agree. I am beginning to see a definite shift in that direction. You know, I think, I really do think quite a bit, but I think that a lot of people feel powerless.
Mm-hmm.
All of this, I don't know, anything from the intense media bombardment to just, you know, the simple act of being born into a physical incarnation with a parent doing their best for you, but actually shutting down your divine emotional guidance system, you know, that type of, you
mm-hmm.
know, we're sort of trained to feel powerless a lot of the time. And to be teaching, you know, when people, I remember when I came to have my first reading with you, and, you know, I'm a metaphysician, I've been doing this work a very long time, but it actually changed my life. You know, everything connected the dots. And hope is exactly, I was very hopeful. I was like, okay, I'm doing something right, and now I know where to go from this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what you do, what we do,
mm-hmm.
brings people back into that alignment. It gives them their power back, because to feel powerless,
mm-hmm.
to feel that inert,
mm-hmm.
that is, I believe, the furthest away you can get from Creator. That is the furthest feeling you can get away from your source energy. You know, if you're angry, you're feeling something. If you have an emotion, you're feeling something. So you're getting closer into balancing that alignment somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're feeling powerless and there's no hope, and that's what lack of hope is, absolute powerlessness, if there is such a word. So, you know, this is what we have to conquer. This is what we have to, this is that little fear bug that's in everyone. You know, we have to get people back in their power again by understanding really who they are.
It's really amazing times to be alive and to be participating in the awakening of all that is, that to remember that it never went to sleep, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing honor to be alive and to witness all of this. I think, too, what I've noticed as well, in addition to the wisdom you've shared, is that in many people, their rock bottom sometimes is powerlessness only when the power that they were connecting to was a source outside of themselves, it was an illusion, and it was a dependency upon what I call temporary power, which is earth-based, or I call it the plane of demonstration, that they're, and I'm talking about, of course, excluding names, I'm talking about the CEOs of major companies, et cetera, that equate who they are, their power, and even their title with the temporary power in this world. And I think if they're feeling powerless almost by loss of all of that, then sometimes that powerlessness is needed for them to awaken to an internal fuel and resonance of power that is really who they are.
Well, in that case, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
They need, absolutely.
Yeah, just in that case.
Yes.
But I think you're right.
Yeah, you know, and nothing happens with, you know, it's this inertia, this the depression starts to creep in, and then the not caring, and then the shutting down, and you begin to see the aura getting smaller and the chakras getting tiny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're not engaging, you're not being part of it. And just a little, just someone to share a little sense of awareness with you.
Yes.
And teach you that you actually came into this realm excited to interact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all about relationships, lots of different relationships all the time.
Isn't that true? I am so fascinated, because it's not just our relationships with each other and people, it's our relationships with our environment, with plant life, where we have intimate relationships with nature, with the sky, with the wind, with our animal beings. I mean, we are in relationship, I agree, at all times with everything, whether known or unknown to us. It's absolutely one of the most beautiful, choreographed, divine orchestrations that I've ever seen, and I see it around me all the time. It's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and if we quiet down a little bit once in a while,
mm-hmm.
to really think about it instead of running around, just running around like a chicken with our heads cut off. It's such a busy world apparently here. That we actually, we forget, you know, from our divine perspective before we came forth into this physical incarnation, we forget how excited we were for mm-hmm. that contrast. We forget the emotions that we shared there were sort of exhilaration, excitement.
Absolutely.
You know, all wrapped up in that, in what they call that peace that surpasses all understanding, as it were. But, you know, when you're on a fourth dimensional existence, you're sort of that much closer to source.
Mm-hmm.
And your manifestation time, your demonstration time is almost instant. So, you know, we forget that. And a lot of people haven't been taught that, you know, the very first relationship that you actually have, is that when you've come from closer to source energy back into this physical energy to have this physical incarnation and to expand consciousness, the first relationship you have to come to terms with is the balance between your non-physical self and your physical self.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you're a teeny tiny baby and you're just born, you're still, you know, billions of years old, you're still manifesting, you're still, you know, the law of attraction still applies to you, all the universal principles still attract, you know, you sleep all the time because you want to be closer to God when you're a baby, you're not making sense of everybody else's emotions. So, you know, right from that start, the first relationship that we have is that balance between our physical and non-physical self. And then we start to absorb everybody's, you know, input as we grow up, and we start to lose our emotional guidance as we perhaps buy into what other people are saying. You know, we don't listen to that small, still voice, as it were. And I'm sort of sorry we're not taught as youngsters to have more quiet time, more creative time, more contemplative time.
Well, absolutely. You know, to go back to what you're saying about the first relationship that we encounter as children, and I was talking with you about that we are in relationship to our environment, and everything in our environment is in relationship to us. And what I think is one of the most beautiful experiences is the knowledge that one of the first relationships we have beyond the molecular structure, beyond the quantum physics and all of that, but one of the first experiences we have is with our breath of life and the relationship of breathing in the first time and how incredible that experience is. And again, whether it's an infant or whether it is an adult who is breathing on their own for the first time ever, it's the soul is recording that experience and communicating with it, and the breath of life is aware of that individual's experience, whether it's the first, fifth life, or the first time ever. You know, Ani, the other day I was sitting there and I had this incredible feeling of just warmth and gold light come over me, and like a projection screen in front of me was the realization that right in that moment where I was sitting there in a coffee shop, in that exact moment aligned to me and my life, breath of life, there was a child being born at the same exact time. There was somebody learning to drive for the first time. There was somebody being kissed for the first time. There was somebody seeing their etheric angel for the first time, somebody experiencing tragedy and death for the first time. And it was this overwhelming feeling, of course, that brought me to tears of gratitude for remembering that life is happening all the time, and all the experiences that we've just left or that we might have are happening 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all over the world. So for somebody to feel alone in their pain or alone in their joy, please remember, everyone, that within your heart and your experience, and whether you are joyful or you are in sorrow, whether you are in fear, whether you are in laughter, that around the world and around the consciousness all over, that people are experiencing with you. And that was an amazing, I've had that memory before, but I think too, when you talk about hope and when we talk about hope and community and remembering, it's remembering not to take for granted that our one breath is the breath of all. Our heartbeat is a divine symphony that's played one instrument at a time, but the overall music is heard as, you know, a symphony throughout the universe. It's just a fascinating, incredible experience to be here.
And just very empowering for people to sit and perhaps think about that. That I think we've discussed previously, we're not individuals. We're individualized expressions of Creator.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we are all simultaneously experiencing on so many different levels, on so many different dimensions. And to remember that we are so much more than we think we are in physical form. And just to take a moment, I hope everybody has a moment like you had in the coffee shop there, that beautiful golden light just washes over you and you have that moment, that sense of, wow, it's all happening and it's all good the way it is and the way it isn't. Yeah.
Right. It's all good and there's no fear. There's only the knowing that as this moment began, it will end and a new beginning will be, a new moment will be reborn. That there really, the illusion is that there is end at all. There is no end. There is only the continuum.
Yep, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, you know, we think we live, we think we die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we never live, we never. We're always alive. We're always alive, and, you know, when this particular incarnation ends for us, we're supposed to be joyous, and it's supposed to be the next logical step to go, you know, back, this is that. My body is given out. I'm now going to go back home. So this is logic. This is the way it is. You know, non-resistance. There we are. You know, we're never dead. We're always alive. You know, these higher beings, I'm not a medium like you, and, you know, these great beings don't talk through me, but, you know, I do listen to teachings all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these higher beings are very irreverent when they talk about death. It's not that they don't have compassion for the human experience. Of course they do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're very irreverent about death, and they're specifically irreverent because there isn't any. They want us to understand that there's no such thing as death. It is a continuum, and it's beautiful, and there's no hurry.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful right there. That's true.
Yeah.
There is no hurry. Yeah. I often tell clients, don't be racing through your life to the end of what you have created as a race, because once you get there, you'll just be looking back and wanting to start over. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy it. Take time to experience yourself. And then everything around you. And I think this quickening that's happening all over the world, you and I both work with clients all over the world, and I've been experiencing, too, that people are beginning to, it's almost like they have this, and it's beautiful, this desire to become, and they're ready to remove all masks and to move into their universal place on this earth, for themselves, for each other, and do what they were called to do. It's almost like they are thirsty and ready to move into that place of divine expression, of unlimitedness, of lack of suffering. It's like they want to experience it, and they're ready. It's amazing. It doesn't matter if there's a client from Japan to Switzerland to Mexico or where have you, they are desiring the same type of experience. Have you been finding that?
Very much so. And, you know, I found myself, I think I have to say, I'm surprised. In the last year or so, I found myself working with segments of society that would never have been open to what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what it is what they're being won over more than anything else, because we don't teach, we don't preach, we don't say don't ask questions, don't challenge, this is the law, this is this, you know. We say, look, brother, sister, here's a sharing, here's a different sense of awareness, here's our sense of awareness. And if there's anything different about us to anybody else, I mean, who knows what it is, but I mean, the only thing I can think of that's maybe a little different for me is that I have absolute direct knowing of my divine perspective. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I don't have a nebulous faith concept. I know the Creator exists. And, you know, just to be able to share with them an alternative sense of awareness and allow, and this is a big word, we both like this word a lot, you know, not tolerate people, but allow people in their own time to take this information and, you know, to run it in their heads and to let it grow and go to seed, whatever, when it needs to be. We allow people to evolve at their own pace.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's happening when you talk about the awakening. It's like all of a sudden I have police officers coming up to me and going, well, we would like to have a personal spiritual salon. you know, don't tell the sergeant, you know, and so, because, you know, somebody's visited, you know, had a healing and this and that and the other, and something you've said to somebody resonates and they've been able to take it to work. So, you know, yes, it is very much a personal awakening.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're not here to affect change. All we can do is align ourselves with our source energy. And through that, you know, perhaps we can inspire the atmosphere around us, you know. So, you know, what we're doing here is just holding space for that sense of awareness, and people are not threatened by that, Cynthia. I think when people come to see you and hopefully me, they're not threatened by the language.
Oh, no.
You know, they're loved and they're accepted. They're not talked down to.
Mm-mm.
And whatever spirit says to them through us is understood by them according to the level of consciousness that they're at. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, and I believe that it comes to them as well, in addition to what you're saying, and it comes to them as well from spirit in such a way of wholeness, meaning I see you as you are in your wholeness, even if you don't see yourself there yet. Spirits, I listen and tune in to when spirit's talking to clients, etc., and it's such a deep level of respect and of oneness and of love. And so, yes, I absolutely agree. There's no threat. And I've had clients that I've sent to you that have called me, and, well, they now call you their family, and they plan on inviting you to every family function, which you might or might not be joyful about.
if there's snacks, I'm there.
Okay. But they're like, they call you their my Ani, you know. I mean, they fall in love with you because there is no there's no demands upon them, you know. And with the work that I do as well, there is an ability, I think, for both of us, the work we do, is for people to walk in and immediately feel trust and feel the environment and the space that is being offered to them is one that we have first claimed our own trust in. And so, of course, it is offered and it is embraced by ourselves and then offered to others. I find that clients, when they walk into the space, they feel like almost for the first time sometimes in their life that they can breathe, that they can relax, that they can put down the armor, because all they see around them is love, light, trust, hope, and acceptance. And so, and those, you know, I think for a lot of humanity, those very words and what they mean haven't been considered very powerful in society or maybe even personally. Trust, light, love, acceptance, et cetera. And I think that's changing. I think that's changing in our daily consciousness, that love, light, healing, kindness, do no harm, you know, just express love when able to, and when given the opportunity to not express love, choose to not express altogether. Instead, send them a quiet prayer. You know what? The universe is like the most divine string instrument, if you will, and the softest of intention and the kindness and most gentlest expression moves across the divine instrument of strings like a barely noticed breath, and it plays this harmony and all the lights of the universe turn on. It's just amazing. And so people are able to let go and really receive what you are offering them, really hear what I'm sharing with them. And I always say to every client, never replace your own truth with a reading or a dialogue or advice. If it resonates, make it your own, meaning if you feel a connection to it, make it your own. But I think that's the key, Ani. I don't know if you've noticed, you probably have. I think people are maybe turning more inward and trying to find out, what is my truth? What is my gift? What is my voice? And I have a choice in how I represent it.
Oh, good, absolutely, Cynthia. Everyone, you know, people are getting to a point where this is how I see it. You know, most people come into my office, and I deal a lot with the medical stuff. So, They've tried everything under the sun, and by the time they get to me, it's what they're saying is, please tell me there's a better way. Please tell me there's something better than this. And they are going inward because things are making sense to them. And you're right. Sometimes they have put themselves through so much and they are worn down and perhaps they feel powerless and inert or whatever they're feeling. But you're able to say something to them that they actually click. You see the light bulb go off on someone's head. And it's like, duh, it's about the balance and harmony. Balance and harmony. Balance and harmony. You know, and then they begin to understand. You're quite right, you know, when you say, no, but love, what's love? She loves you, yeah. You know, it's a word that's bandied around all over the place. But the power of the word love is a creative force. Not as an emotion or a virtue or whatever else people think it is. But the freedom that unconditional love gives to someone, because you take a deep breath in that love, you're safe, you create. Mm-hmm. That's how Creator created us. That's how we created universes. So, you know.
Yes, I think emotional love has often been misguided, and so the equation, scientific or otherwise, because I believe that it is, of love universally as creator is really needs to be taken a second look at, I think, by anyone that is feeling that they are not loved, lovable, or they don't know how to love. That if you're out there and you're open to it, look within you to for one moment remember that you are a divine instrument and that running through the center of who you are is divine creator love. It's not separate from who you are. It lives within you. That is why you are. That you can be is because you are part of that divinity and that it exists within you. So if you're looking for it outside you and it's just not connecting and you've looked everywhere, it's time to look within and maybe just start giving yourself permission to say, maybe, and I invite you to actually not take our word for it, Ani or mine, but to really make it your own and practice it and put your own truth to it. But start considering that within you, not necessarily through your emotional body or just your mental body, but just as an energy being, through the core center of who you are, as pure potential of and energy source of creator, that love, the equation of love, is what sustains you. And so it's an incredible thing to contemplate, because once you start contemplating it, your aura, I can see auras in the grids and all that, the aura literally shifts and begins to change into a pattern of wholeness, because it's literally almost saying, I can return to my natural form.
Absolutely. What a wonderful jumping off point for any thought pattern, for any meditation, because when you're in love, when you love, you're in, not in love, like not the type of love that turns to possession and hatred in a split second when people think that, you know, they're in love with the roles they're supposed to play with each other, not with themselves and not with the other person. But the actual love that you mentioned as a creative force, what people are afraid to think of what that word means to them, to let it flow over them. Mm-hmm. And when you, as you say, the aura sparks up, chakras begin to align, because when you love, you are aligning with source energy. And as we say over and over again, that is the only relationship that matters, is your relationship with source energy, your relationship with your divinity. If you're aligned, everything you do is going to be aligned. Everyone you meet is going to be exactly where they need to be in that relationship, you know? These are the things that we, and you know, you can read a million and one books and there are some good things out there, but you can also ask spirit to guide you and teach you.
Absolutely. And beginning, hey, what an incredible opportunity to begin trusting by asking, just as you've said, by asking spirits to guide you and then trusting that guidance. And then creating an intimate relationship with yourself that only will expand and give life to all other relationships. That is the beauty of the relationship and the extraordinary unending opportunity of connecting with your spirit family and the spirit within you, divine source, as you say, because it's a relationship unconditional that gives without end. It continually offers, loves, and refills, and refuels, and renews. It's continuous. There is no end to it. I mean, there is an end to it in the perspective that if in your humanity you go, I do not deserve love, I refuse to receive, you know, then you will experience as a human being in your humanity that stop, but the energy itself will never stop. When you're ready to rejoin it, it'll continue, it'll be there. It's like it never left. You know, that's the interesting thing is in relationships, we often believe that the best part of who we are is experienced because the other person or the relationship has brought that out in us. When I invite everyone to contemplate that when the relationship ends, a lot of people feel tremendous grief and loss because they believe the best parts of themselves, the parts that felt the most incredible, are gone, that the relationship took that with them or it was killed by the end of the relationship. You have lost nothing. No part of you is gone. No part of you has been taken from you. What you have gained in a relationship, even if it ends and you are in the process of grieving, is the opportunity for you to reclaim the parts of you that you allowed yourself to experience as joyful and as feeling all giving and all consuming in love and opportunity, etc., that those parts are really the parts you allowed yourself to give to yourself, and the relationship was possibly a mirror of your magnificence. And that can be reclaimed outside of the relationship, and most of the time, if done in that way or make it your own, you end up thanking the relationship for revealing that those parts even existed to begin with. You know what I mean?
I very much know what you mean. Yep. You know, we very well put, I love the mirror of magnificence, actually. I'm writing that down. I'm actually going to put that on my bathroom mirror. Mirror of magnificence. I want to see that every morning when I get out of the shower to remind myself that I'm on the right track before I go to the gym. Yes. All right. So moving right along back to spiritual matters, just had to write that down because I do tend to be a little forgetful. But yeah, you know, we grow up, we learn, we came for the experience, we came for the contrast. Don't worry, have emotions, they're good. We resolve them as we align, and we begin to learn what part of ourselves is our ego, and what is temporary and fleeting, totally valid because it's something we've trained well and we need it for the contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to be quashed, just something to be gently transcended as we align and step into our divinity. And mm-hmm. initially it's difficult because we have been so trained the wrong way. But, you know, as they say in the old days, give it up to the Lord, as it were, which is not the language I use, but, mm-hmm. you know, align with your creator, align with the truth of your being, and you so rise above the din of the world. Mm-hmm. You see everything from that divine perspective that we talk about, and the ego self literally starts to dismantle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a process, people. Don't worry about it. There's plenty of time. But, you know, I love the thing, meditate on love, meditate on love. I love that.
Yes, meditate on love, absolutely. And I want to take a moment just now to invite anyone who has a comment or a question to call in if you'd like. And the toll-free number, again, is 888-815-9756. Or in the States, it's 530-327-7602. Now, Ani, please share with everyone what are your plans and what are you doing? You said you're teaching. Can you share more about what it is that you are teaching and what it entails so people know?
Absolutely. I'd be delighted to. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, I'm finding that when it comes to metaphysics and spirituality, a lot of people are new to this subject, or have come from a traditional religious background,
mm-hmm.
Or any type of background, but they seem to be lost in the translation. And they really want to learn, but they come to, you know, they go to workshops and they go, huh. So, in honor of everybody who really wants a perfect and comprehensive primer for all things metaphysical, spoken to you by me in pure, concise, clean English with no mumbo-jumbo or woo, I offer Metaphysics 101, the workshop, not the movie, okay? And so what this is, it is going to be, just as I said, an excellent workshop for those of you who could use a clear, concise glossary of basic spiritual and metaphysical concepts. We will talk about many things, creation, you know, Akashic records, angels, archangels, dark forces, levels of consciousness, energetic interpretations. What is heaven really? What does happen when we, brackets, die? What's a ghost? What's a spirit? What are lost souls? What is karma? What are pre-birth arrangements? Reincarnation, UFOs, universal laws, just that and so much more. Everything that has been lost in the translation, I'm going to cover. And the first workshop is going to be the Sunday, the 27th of this month, from 2 to 5 p.m. Please do visit my website, which is www.aniavedisian.com, aniavedisian.com, and all the details are on that. If you're at all interested and you're a beginner or you're intermediate and you want clear, concise direction, come to this workshop. You can't come, Cynthia, because you're very overqualified for this. But anybody else can come. And I'm thinking, Cynthia, I think you'll agree, this is an important one. You know,
I'm listening to your table of contents, and I'm just, yes, absolutely.
You know,
everyone should go.
Yeah, so they can just, you know, get what it's all about. And, of course, I do spiritual salons, every month, and the next upcoming salon is Sunday, September 20th, from 2 to 4:30, and this is where people who are curious about life, universe, and everything, matters, all dimensional, but they don't want to have a private session with me, or they want, you know, the group experience, and they want a very safe place to ask all these questions that they normally wouldn't discuss with anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come to one of these salons and ask your questions. It's just a lot of fun. Good teachings, but a lot of fun.
Now, is there a phone number that people can reach you at as well, or just through your website?
Yeah, they actually certainly can. They can reach me on 503-998-1237.
Mm-hmm.
998-1237. I do recommend visiting the website because everything's explained really well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, regarding all of that.
Absolutely.
And if I have a couple more, do I have some time, Cynthia, to talk about something else as well?
Yes, you do.
Okay. I'm still teaching the Golden Light of Grace. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with this, I started teaching a simplified version of my light body healing method. And this is primarily designed for people who have little or no intuition. We want you not to be afraid of, you know, laying hands upon someone or invoking the Christ of consciousness. We want you to be just very aligned with the fact that anybody, they don't have to be psychic or clairvoyant or any of these things, can step into a situation, hold space, and pray for someone. So I'm very delighted with the results we've had on with this workshop. It's a two-parter. You can either do light body healing, or you can do land and space clearing, or you can do both. The land and space clearing portion of it, I talk you through all the many, many different types of property I've cleared over the years, and we also take you to a land and space clearing somewhere in the greater Portland area. And we try and get something for you that's haunted, but nothing too serious because you're all beginners. You know, we don't want to, you know, nothing dangerous. And you'll be with me, so it's fine. But it's a very exciting experience and a chance to get in on the ground floor to learn how to lay hands on someone, to clear light body, and also to clear land and space. And again, that will all the details of that are on aniavedisian.com. Do invite you to check out that website and get in touch if you're interested in any of those, because we all want to be mobile sacred spaces, right?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Mobile sacred spaces.
That's
yes,
right.
We are. We have the opportunity to mirror that in each and every one of us is a universe of possibility and endless connection to infinite wisdom, that in the cellular body, each human being, regardless of where you are on your path, and in your consciousness and what you are co-creating in your life, within the cells of your body is housed your hall of records, every single lifetime you've had, all of the mastering that you've accomplished, and everything that you have triumphed. And so, yes, we are all universes unto ourselves with the opportunity and possibility at any moment to reach deep within and say, I give myself permission to see myself through the eyes of God or whoever your higher thought and projection is, but to really start seeing yourselves as walking temples. And as I have seen since I was 6 years old, the light body around everyone and their aura is brilliant with colors and shapes and sacred geometry and form and movement. And but most importantly, I do see and have seen since 6 years old a temple, that the body not only is a temple, but it is surrounded by a symmetry and a grid system of such divinity that regardless what the soul or the emotional or mental body is going through, that grid system is there as a constant reminder of who you truly are. And so every person, your crown chakra, has light coming out of it. Depending upon who you are and where you are in your journey, that light might be different and maybe not as bright or extremely illuminated. But you are a temple, and you walk around illuminated. There is light there for you, whoever you are and wherever you are. You illuminate the light around you, and you have light within you to access. Just turn love towards yourself instead of away from you. Your focus on your internal self instead of away from you. I often say to people, go within so you do not go without. And experience the abundance that is there. Because love, as Ani was saying, creator love, true love, it does not withhold. In fact, it delights in filling your plate and running that plate over with more food and more joy and more experience. So it's an amazing time to be alive and to know people like you, Ani, and to have the experience to talk and laugh and then to be there, to be able to hold somebody's hand when they're crying because their father who just passed on is talking directly to their heart. Or to experience the sacred passing of my own family members and to be able to be there and see that the passing experience, the returning to your light body experience, even, and I've had 4 near-death experiences myself, so truly there is no death, there is only continuation. But to be there and to witness it is one of the most beautiful experiences, as is being born, and the whole journey. It is just, all of it is beautiful. And for all of us, when we are down in the valley, when we are feeling low, when we are feeling there's a shadow upon us, when we are feeling that we are alone, we have been cast out, and that we are done with this dimension, we don't want it anymore, please, I invite you to reach within, to do so that you are a garden of Goddess God, and to reach deep into the most beautiful flowers, and the visual, whatever visual works for you, that when you think of that visual represents reconnection for you and divinity, and to hold that visual, but to change it, put yourself there in the scenery. And you will experience yourself either slowly or instantaneously return to really an emotional, mental, spiritual, and physical place of anything is possible. Absolutely anything is possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank my special guest from, what is it you say when I say I thank you from my heart? You say I thank you.
I thank you. I thank you from the heart of my bottom.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say, working with you on any level is joyous, and if the rest of us are temples, then I think of you as St. Paul's Cathedral. Thank you for inviting me on your show. It was delightful to be with you again.
Oh, thank you so much. Absolutely. And it was so delightful for me, absolutely. Thank you, thank you. And everyone, tune in 2 weeks from tonight. I have another beloved special guest who has is going to be honoring me with her time, and I look so forward to it. And that is, of course, at 8 p.m., 2 weeks from tonight. And to get in touch with me, to email me with your thoughts or comments or even shows that you would like matters to be discussed on, it is C as in cat, Y-N, S as in Sam, 999 at gmail.com. To get a hold of me directly is 503-347-6766 to book an appointment over the phone or in person. And in deep gratitude to everyone listening and participating, whether you've called in or not, it is in gratitude that I reach out to you and thank you for your energy and your presence on this earth. And at this time, I want to bid everyone the sweetest of memories of who you truly are. And this is Cynthia Sloan. If it resonates, make it your own.